Okay, Chevra, always a schus to be back together, to learn Torah, to gain chizik together. I want to start off, first and foremost, to thank, as always, the Shriers for opening up their bias to Torah, to all of us, to Eliza, to Sarit. We have to show our cars a tov in a way, so if anybody, Sarit, would like that, if anyone happens to be headed to the Washington Heights from the Five Towns tomorrow, please get in touch with her. She could use a chesed. So we give her a karsa tov for opening up the bias in that way. All the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, all the Soros tonight, this is being sponsored, and everyone should have in mind, Lili Nishmas, David Ben Idel, Adel, who's Nicole Aronoff's grandfather, who's Nifter yesterday, happens to be a mishpach I feel very, very close to. And Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, the Torah will be a big schus for his neshama, Bezer Hashem, to bring nechama to the family as well. And the Mirtz Hashem should be a big melech Yosher for this special family that he has. Until we're zoiche to Tchias HaMesim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash and be dancing again with your grandfather, B'mheira B'yameinu. The emes is everything we're going to say tonight. We'll really give chizik, hopefully, to Nicole and her family. And also to us in our community here. I don't know how many are connected or knew personally, but there was a very terrible, sad tragedy yesterday where a young man, Maishi Hirsch, who has five young children, his oldest child is in sixth grade. I got to know him a little bit a few weeks ago, really very, very recently, and he was the type of person you met, and you saw Simchas HaChaim, you saw happiness. And our hearts go out. One can't even fathom to deal with such a tragedy, a sudden patira for Mishpacha, for his children, for his Eishes Chayil. How is it possible to deal with such a tragedy? Really, how is it? Because there are no answers, and something very, very difficult. But first of all, before anything else, it has to be a chizik to each and every one of us, as his iris, as a wake-up call, to make the most of every single moment of our lives. To realize that every day, every hour of life is precious, is a gift, is a bracha from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we have to grab onto that. How many of us at the end of the day could look back and say, how much time did I waste today? How much of my life today was involved in meaningless pursuits? We have to lead meaningful, productive lives, full of accomplishing whatever, in all different areas. Because every day is a big matana. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. And not that chas v'sholom any of us should be walking around in a depressed way. If there's Hashem b'simcha, Hashem wants us with the biggest smile on our face always. But also we find many mamre chazal that say, yaskir lo yom ha'misa. We're supposed to mention day of death. What does that mean? It doesn't mean in a depressing way. It doesn't mean in a sad way, in a scary way. It means that we have to take the chizik of this tragedy and say, I'm going to make the most of every single day that Hashem gives me. That's our avodah. To make the most of every moment. Because every moment is a gift. And spend time with our family and with our friends. And spend time in learning and davening and activities that are meaningful, whatever they are, in all different ways. And look at every day as a tremendous gift. Say those words in the morning and really mean them. And grab on to that day, this day. And not worrying about tomorrow or the past, just today. As some of us learned about recently. But still the question is, how do all of us, hearing about such a tragedy, and those that are more so connected in the family, how does one move on? One can feel completely frozen by such a tragedy. Such a terrible, the sadness is overwhelming. You can't have a whole heart when you find out of such a tragedy. Your heart is broken. Just broken. So of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us the answers in the parasha. And that week's Torah. And we find it in the special reading, I believe, of this week's parasha, Parashas Parah. This week is Parashas Parah. And Parashas Parah, Chevra, is the parasha of Parah Aduma, Zois Chukas HaTorah. This is the quintessential chok of the Torah, and we all know what a chok is. We all know a chok is a law without understanding, without reason. So why am I going to perform a law without understanding, without reason? Why would I ever keep such a mitzvah? Only one way. Because I have tremendous emunah in Hashem. I have tremendous belief in Hashem. And my belief in Hashem is so strong. My belief in Hashem is unwavering. My belief in Hashem tells me that even when I don't understand, even when it makes no sense, it's emes. And when a tragedy occurs, I say, what do I say? I say, Baruch, I don't say Baruch Tov Emetiv. I don't say it's good. I don't understand why it's good. I'm not happy, and I'm allowed to be sad, and I'm allowed to cry many, many tears, and I miss such a person as deeply as possible, and I'm saddened. But simultaneously, a Yid who has tremendous emunah can say Baruch Dayan Emes. And that's the only way, I believe, one can even move on. With that understanding, and knowing there's an Eibishter, and an Eibishter that runs the Welt, an Eibishter who has a plan. I don't understand the plan, I don't know it. The same way I don't know the plan of Paradum, I don't understand it. Now this, I don't understand why, it makes no sense to me. I will never know, maybe I'd know some Mashiach, and maybe I'll have some clarity, maybe not even. I don't know, but I know there's a Rabbon Hashem, and I know He's above it, and I know therefore there's reason, and there's rhyme, and this is best for the Welt, for the world, and even somehow best for me. I'm very sad right now, but it's somehow the right. It's somehow what's needed. Somehow the Rabbon Hashem knows. I know. You know what I know? I know Hashem knows better than me. That I know. That's the ultimate Amunah. And if I have that Amunah, if I'm strong in that Amunah, and I'm unwavering in that Amunah, Zois Chukas HaTorah, just like then I'll perform Paraduma, even though it makes no sense to me. And I'll burn a red cow and have ashes on someone's tummy, and suddenly it's going to be tar, and the person sprinkling is going to become tummy. Like, none of it makes sense. Shkoyach, it doesn't make sense. But you know what? The Rabbon Hashem does make sense. I'm a human being. I don't understand. What am I? I'm finite. He's infinite. Only with Emunah. That's the only answer. So let's try to strengthen our Emunah tonight. Because as much as I know the Chevra in this room has tremendous Emunah. I know that. Probably much more than I do. But we can always be strengthening our Emunah. Always be working on our Emunah. And with Amunah by our side, I could get through anything. And with Amunah by our side, life is that much sweeter and that much more special. With the Rabbon Hashem by my side, I'm walking with the Rabbon Hashem. I'm walking every step with the Rabbon Hashem. It's good. So I made some makoros tonight. The main reason I made these makoros was actually for the second one, for the Baal Shem Tov, that I wanted to learn together with you inside and for you to be able to have and keep and maybe hang up on your wall because it's that special of the Baal Shem Tov, I believe. I deeply believe. But once I was making the makoros, we made a few more. We'll learn them together. Bez Hashem's Baruch. And by the way, the chevra I sent out today, I sent out the song that, really, by the way, I had nothing to do with the song. I mean, I wrote the song, I composed the song, but that's it. Meaning, I sang this song for my Talmidim, like, I just went through the low and high. I wrote it like mamish like 8 years ago or 10 years ago. I just, one of my talmidim years and years ago like was teaching me how to play guitar a little bit. I never really picked it up. I just never put the time into it. But I learned a few chords. So one day I was sitting with the chords, and I wrote this niggun, you know, the melody. And then like it was Purim, it was mamish Purim of I'm gonna say mamish like a long time ago. It might have been like 2006 even. I don't know, years ago, and. Sitting there, Purim, you know, Purim, Baruch Hashem, and then the words came to fit the song, and then for years once in a while I'd sing it to somebody or something, and did nothing with it. This year I have a chevra and dearest of talmidim, of seniors who are like unbelievable musicians, like really great, and just get it, and so I said, guys, it's time to produce a song, we got the world, I feel like this song could bring people chizik, we got to do it, I can't do it, I don't sing, I don't play, I don't anything, you know? So I sang it for them. They recorded it like on like on the iPhone in like a 1 minute recording. And then again, I was involved in the process, like what I like, what I don't, but it was all these Talmidim. So, but the song is all about what we're learning about tonight. It's knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there the whole time, is there the whole time, will be there le'olam va'ed, forever and ever. And we have to feel that, and we have to live that. Every moment of our life, and life, I could get through anything with that. So let's learn a medrash. It's a medrash Tanchuma. You have it in front of you. It's in Chukas Ches, in the medrash Tanchuma. The Peladic medrash Tanchuma. The medrash Tanchuma makes no sense, but we're going to make sense out of it. Rav Acha b'shem Rav Yosi bar Chanina Omer. Rav Acha name Rav Yosi bar Chanina says, B'shasha olamo yishalam arom. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heightened world, to the Rabbi Nisholm, to the Eibishter, Shama kolol shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he heard the voice of God, Yoshefa osek b'parshas Parah Aduma. What was the Rabbi Nisholm doing in Shemayim when Moshe went up? He's learning about Parah Aduma. He's learning about Parah Aduma. If I wasn't reading it, it's a good thing I made Makoros, because you think I'm making this up. Like, that's really what the Rebbe Nisholm was doing. He was reading Parah Aduma. And what did he say? More than that. He says, Halacha b'shem Omra Eliezer b'ni Amar, Egla bas shenaso Parah bas shtayim. And the proper Halacha is like Eliezer, my son, yeah, by the Halachas of Egla Rufa. We're not going to get into that now, but a decapitated calf, that basically if you found the person, a meis mitzvah, there's a whole procedure, whatever, that calf should be 1 year old, and the parah of Parah Aduma should be 2 years old. It's a machlokes. Between Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say the Parah Aduma should be 3 years old. Rabbi Eliezer says 2 years old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was learning Parah Aduma and saying that Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, it should be 2 years old. That's what he's involved in. Pella, that's not what we would think the Rebbeinu Shalom's involved in, but we'll understand, right? We'll understand. Amar Moshe Lefan, Rebbeinu Shalom, Helyonim Tachtonim Shalcha. Moshe says, God, the upper world and the lower world, it's all yours. The whole world is yours. Vatom, Halacha B'Shmosho, Pasuk B'Dam, and you said, oh, by the way, Halacha is like Eliezer? What do you mean? Just say the Halacha in your name. Like, you know better than anyone what the right. Oh, the Halacha follows Eliezer if he's right. Like, Rabbeinu Shalom, you're the Rabbeinu Shalom. Amar lo tzaddik echad asid lamad balami. There's a tzaddik. Hashem said back, there's a tzaddik that's going to stand in my world. And he's going to open up Parah Aduma, and he's going to get, and that's Rabbi Eliezer, is going to say this halacha, the Parah Bashanayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't understand. I get such nachas, basically, that this is my child, and he's going to come up with this idea in the world. I want to say it in his name. So what is Moshe's thought? That must be something incredible, Rabbi Eliezer, then, obviously. So Amar Lefan, Rabbi Boin Alom, Yiratzon Shei Mechil Tzai, Hashem, so promise me it should be that he comes off out of my offsprings. Let him come. I want such a tzaddik to come out of me, Hashem. I want that tzaddik that you're going to say something in his name. I want him to come out of me. I want him to be my great-grandchild. Amar locha yecha shumachal tzecha. Yeah, it's good. Don't worry. He'll be your offspring. Hado d'chsev v'shem echad Eliezer. We know who were Moshe's two children, Gershom and Eliezer. But that Eliezer, then eventually, v'shem osam yuchad Eliezer was also Eliezer of Eliezer. Not obviously his son, but many generations later. Thus is the Medrash. So what is going on in this Medrash? What does it mean? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning? Why would he be learning Parah Aduma? Everything in the Torah, he's learning Parah Aduma. And why is he paskinging like Rabbi Eliezer? And what does it mean that Moshe wanted him to be one of his sons? What's going on here? So much that we don't understand on the surface. So, Chav, you ready to learn? This might be one of the, you know, we've had this chus, I don't know how many years we're learning together already in this chavra, but, you know, different members come and go, but we've learned a lot of Torahs, and a lot of beautiful, important Torahs. I don't know if there's a Torah more important than the one we're about to learn. I really don't. I don't know if there's a Torah more important than what we're about to learn right now. So look inside and let's learn. It's from the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. The founder of Chassidus. The Baal Shem Tov says this is found in his Amud HaTfilah, which is found in Parshas Noach. was written by his Talmidim, but this is his Torah. Now he's talking about something that we all know. We say it every day, many times a day. Everyone here has davened Shemoneh Esrei many, many, many times in their life. And we start off Shemoneh Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. Our God and the God of our forefathers. Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, our God and the God of our forefathers. Why do we say that? Why our God and the God of our forefathers? Why not just Elokeinu, our God? Why do we have to say Elokeinu ve'Elokei also? Ever listen to the Halakha words of the Baal Shem HaKadosh? Listen to this. The Halakha Baal Shem Tov says, Ki yesh shnei suge b'nei adam hama'aminim b'Hashem yisbarach. There are two types of people that believe in God. There are two types of people that are ma'aminim. Echad shema'amin b'Kadosh Baruch Hu machmas sheholech b'darchei avosav hakadmonim. One person believes in God because they've been taught that. And it's been a Mesorah given down, father to son, father to son. My father told me I have to believe in God and I should believe in God. My father told me there's a Ribono Shel Olam that created the world and runs the world. And my grandfather told him that, and his grandfather and his father told him that. And therefore, based on what's been given to me from my father and grandfather and for generations, I believe in Hashem. Kabbalah me'avos, accepted from my forefathers. It's mukhrach, it's just emes. I know it. My father taught it to me and I believe my father. With that, his amunah is very, very strong, unwavering. Vabe is a second individual. It's an individual who comes to believe in God through their own chakira, through their own intellectual journey, through their trying to understand logically and scientifically and prove God, and they've come to that realization, must be a God. Emes. Listen to what the Baal Shem Tov says. What's the difference between them? Shasuga Achad, the first type of Jew, the first one that believes in God, that took it from his father and his father and his father. Yesh lo maila, he has an advantage, he has something very special. She after liftos or so. You can't seduce him away from it. He's never going to disconnect. He's never going to say he doesn't believe. Even if you bring him so different, all different types of proofs and logical and intellectual ways that to disprove God, it doesn't matter. His chamunah is so strong because he got it from his father. He never was concerned with the search. He just believes. As we call maybe blind faith, but strong, real blind faith. That's his maila. It's unwavering because it doesn't matter what you tell him because that's not how he got there. Aval yesh lo chisaron, but there's a deficiency in that individual as well. Shemuna etzlo rak mitzvas anashim milumada. That person's emuna could be very mechanical. That person's emuna could be very rote, without passion or excitement. Because he didn't come to it on his own. She didn't work on it on her own. It's just like, I accepted it. It is. Believe Tom Vesechel without understanding, without intellect, without heart. So it's lacking passion, it's lacking depth. Avala Beis, but the second individual, Yeshlo Maila, has an advantage. Because they came to believe in God through their own intellectual pursuit and journey. Who chazak b'amun shleima ba'avag mura. That amun is so strong and full of love and passion. I came to believe in this, I know it, it's mine, it's my amuna. Passionate amuna. However, avagam ken yesh lo chisaron. That individual also has a deficiency. Shebekal yicholim liftoso, they could be easily seduced away. V'mevilo rayas asosros chakirosav. If you bring that individual rayas that go against what they've come up with, yisvat lechasam. You could seduce them away. They, because if it all comes from the head, if you convince them that their outcome and their theories were wrong, so suddenly they won't believe because it's all intellectual. So each of these individuals has a ma'ala and a chisaron. The ma'ala of the one who's makabel mosav is unwavering. The ma'ala of the one who came through their own thought process is full of passion. But they each have a chisaron as well. Listen to the Baal Shem Tov's avomi sheshnei amidas biyado. But someone who has both, someone who has emuna pshuta, emuna. Because I know it's MS, because my father told me, and I'm in Yid. but also has worked on it, has grown, has come to understand and to prove and to believe deeply from oneself, ain lo lamalim meno, there's no one higher than that. You rely strongly on what you've heard from your parents. But you've also searched, and you've also journeyed, and you've also come to understand. That's complete and amazing, incredible amuna. Now we understand, now we can think about this every Shmoneh Esrei of our life. And that is why we say, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. The Eibishter is our God and the God of our fathers. He's our God. I've come to understand and believe through my pursuit, through my journey, through my intellect. But he's also, I have the strong foundation of Elokei Avoseinu. I'm Makabel for my parents, it's Emes. And there's a Rabbeinu Shalom that runs the world. There's a Rabbeinu Shalom by my side. However, if we could have an Amunah from Allah Tzadim, from both sides, the way we're describing, you know what type of Amunah that is? You know how strong that Amunah is? That Amunah is so strong, Mamish, my life's going to be a different life. I can handle anything in my life with the biggest smile in the world. Because Hashem is by my side every single moment, and I deeply, really believe. There's such focus in the world often on improving on a mitzvos, improving in our avodas Hashem, improving in all areas, and it's all beautiful and wonderful. But the core of it all, the foundation of it all, is Amunah. If we improve and grow in our Amunah, everything else by default is going to grow. Because it's all based on Amunah. The more Amunah we have, that's how one can handle the sad, unfortunate that we should never know again. Tragedies that have been. A tragedy in our community of the Hirsch Mishpacha. A sad Petira of Nicole's grandfather. With Amunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and orchestrates the world and knows what's best for everybody, I could be okay, I could stand up, I could have nechama, I could deal. But it has to be this duality of Amunah. With both that I'm accepting from my parents and I'm working on myself so it's full of passion and excitement. And that's what all of the Avos did. That's why we say also, we continue, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, and then we say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. Why not Elokei Avram, Yitzchak v'Yaakov? Why repeat Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Because each of them both accepted from their parents, but built a new relationship with their Rabbeinu Shalom. So it's Elokei Avram, which is different than Elokei Yitzchak, which is different than Elokei Yaakov. Because it was a personal relationship as well. And the Baal Shem Tov says that as well in Parshas Vayetze. And we have to believe that, we have to know that, we have to live that. That's what it means as well. If you look on the back of the sheet, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Chafal from Beis. Amar Rava, Afal Pisha, Nichula, Avosav, L'Adam, Sefer Torah. Even though we already have Sefer Torah that are left for us. Mitzvah, Lichtov, Mishalom. Mitzvah to write your own Sefer Torah. Okay, Pashup Shad is talking about literally Ksiva Sefer Torah, writing a Sefer Torah. It's a big mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, even though there are many Sefer Svarim already. Maybe also he's talking about the Torah represents our whole relationship with Hashem. Even though we accept it from our parents and we have a relationship, we have to build our own personal relationship as well. It has to be deep and it has to be real. We have to have both. Recently I have a Talmud. He wasn't feeling well for a while. I went to spend time with this Talmud, see how he's doing. I only found out about it like last week, right before Purim, on Taimus Esther. So Purim night, after Megillas Esther, and after beautiful Masiba and DRS, I went to his house to see how he's doing. And he tells me, this Talmud tells me, that he was sick for a while, and they couldn't figure out what it was. He was going through all different types of testing, and then he went to have a CAT scan done. And the next day the doctor calls him and tells him, I don't know how to tell this to you, I'm so sorry, but you have an infection in your brain and it's terminal. Terminally ill. Now Baruch Hashem, a day later, the doctor called back, so sorry, we made a mistake. it's some sort of growth that we totally could take care of and you'll be fine. You can't make this up, right? What type of doctor this is, I don't know. MS. Telling you MS. So Baruch Hashem, I didn't hear the in-between at all. I didn't know. I'm hearing the story like this. I'm just hearing the story like the way I just told it to you. So this Talmud looks at me, tells me, Rabbi, I want you to know. I can't imagine what were those 24 hours, right? What were those 24 hours? You can't imagine. So I want you to know, my first reaction, obviously, was fear and anger. But after really thinking about it, I looked up and I said, Rabbi Nishalom, you know, I've done what I could do, and if this is what you want from me, it's okay. I had a menuchas anefesh, he told me. He was calm, he was fine. This is what he tells me. And I looked at him, and I mamish, I couldn't believe I was looking not at a Talmud, but at a Rebbe. That he was my Rebbe in Amunah. That here's a young man who gets it. How could someone say, I have menuchas anefesh, this is my time, and I understand. If that's what the Bolan Shul wants. It was such strong Amunah, both that he's makabel me'avoisov and that he's built within himself. I can be makabel, I could accept. But it needs to be this duality, like the Baal Shem Tov is telling us. We have to have it strong, muchruch from Hashem, from our parents, but also something we work on, and also something we grow with. By the way, now getting back, we asked, you know, I don't know if Chava remembers, we had some questions. We had some questions on the Medrash. Why is the Ribbono Shel Olam learning Parah Aduma? And why is the Ribbono Shel Olam paskening like Rabbi Eliezer? And why Rabbi Eliezer that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted he should be a descendant of his? So the machlokes, the argument that Hashem was paskening was Chachamim and the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Chachamim say the Paraduma should be 3 years old. Rabbi Eliezer said 2 years old. There's a Rashi, based on a Medrash, that seems to give an understanding to the Paraduma, a reason for the Paraduma. It's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, and Parshas Chukas. He says it's mashul leben shit. We know he basically is saying the Baraduma was kapara for the egel. The egel we know is a calf. A calf is a little child. Para is a cow, is the mother. Mashul leben shivcha, shetinaf paltin. It's a mashul to the child of a maidservant that dirtied the palace. Child of a maidservant that dirtied the palace. Amru tavo imo, bring the mother, v'tikane chatzoa, and clean up all the filth. Kach tavo paras kapra al egel. So to the paraduma is the mother. Could clean up after the egel, the child. So it's kapara. So if you learn that Rashi, seems to give some understanding. Suddenly now there's Talmud over. Now listen to this, Chavi, ready? There's a Gemara in Bechoros, Daf Yotes, that says a para can only have a child when they are 3 years old. Gemara in Bechoros, Yotes. Could only have a child when they're 3 years old. So listen closely. You ready for this? According to the Chachamim, the Paraduma is 3 years old. According to Chachamim, you could learn this Rashi, because the Rashi is telling us, Pshat, the Paraduma, which is 3 years old, which could have a child, is being Mechaper, is atonement for the child, the Egel Azov. And there makes sense out of the whole storyline, right? Paraduma suddenly is not such a big chok. It makes a little sense. It's atonement for the Egel. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the Parduma is 2 years old, you can't say this pshat. Because you can't say the Parduma is the mother that's kapara for the child that messed up, because it's only 2 years old. A two-year-old cow can't have children. You hear, right? Rabbi Eliezer, you can't say this pshat. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's all one big chok still. According to the Chachamim, if the par is 3, so it can have a child, and it's coming to clean up for the child, paraduma for the egel azov. So put this all together, Chever, listen. You know what the Ribbono Shel Olam was learning, and the other Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to know? The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to know that I want you to understand paraduma is a chok. I want you to understand, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the par is 2 years old, Kenneth, there's no, don't give me this whole storyline of cleaning up after a child. Zoyis chukas ha-Torah, it's a chok. And why is that so important? Because that is the moon of our life. that I'm going to understand that I don't understand. That I'm going to understand that I don't always understand. And I'm still going to serve Hashem because He's the master of the universe, because I have Amunah. And Hashem wants us to show and practice this Amunah in Perei Adumah. But if it's 3 years old, like the Chachamim, no longer such a chok. Because then it could be kapara for the eagle. But as a two-year-old, it can't have any children. It can't be. There's no reason to understand. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that each and every one of us should build our Amunah through Perei Adumah. And maybe this Shabbos, after there were tragedies that we're talking about tonight, giving us our chizik to build Amunah, and to have the synthesis of the Amunah that's mukhrich from our parents, that's given to us by our parents, and Amunah that we're working on, and knowing Hashem is by my side every moment. I'm with Hashem. Hashem loves me. Hashem's by my side. Hashem's my Tati in Himmel. So this has to be emes. I could cry and I could be sad, but I know it's emes. I can move on. I'm going to stand up tall. And that's the biggest nechama, is just to know Hashem is by my side and Hashem's orchestrating it all. But I have to really believe that. And by the way, just to explain, we understand we have to have these two types of Amunah. The Amunah that comes from our parents, that's mukhrich, even with, that doesn't make even sense, it's just emes. And the Amunah that we build and we understand. What comes first? What comes first? You know, it's going to be Shabbos Kodesh. And Shabbos, we're going to say Ein Kelokeinu. Ein Kelokeinu, right? The end of davening. Ein Kelokeinu, Mi Kelokeinu. Ein Kelokeinu, there's no one like our God. Mi Kelokeinu, who is like our God? I heard from my Rebbe, the Ashtar of Kalashina Rebbe, of David Spiegel. He says this all the time. He says, shouldn't the order be reversed? You ever think about it, girls? Shouldn't it first be Mi Kelokeinu? Who is our God? And then be Mi Kelokeinu, who is like our God? Ein Kelokeinu, there's no one like our God. Right? It shouldn't be Ein Kelokeinu, and then Mi Kelokeinu. It should be Mi Kelokeinu, and then Ein Kelokeinu. Who is like Hashem? Nobody. Ein Kelokeinu, no one's like Hashem. Not who. No one's like Hashem. Who is like Hashem? We just said no one's like Hashem. Isn't the order weird? So Rabbi Spiegel said so beautifully. No, this is exactly teaching us the order of building our Amunah. Yes, we need the duality, like the Baal Shem Tov said. But first and foremost, I have to say, even if I don't understand, Ein Kelokeinu. There's no one like our God. Rabbeinu Shalom is emes. I have a Amunah for my Tata. I have a Amunah for my parents. I have a Amunah for my Zaidi, for my Bobby. I know it's emes. I know it's emes. Only once I say Ein Kelokeinu, and I was makabel in such a strong way, then I could start to search and say Mi Kelokeinu. Then I could say, who is like? Let's try to understand me. Who is he? I've already accepted Ein Kelokeinu. That's my foundation. Then I could say Mi Kelokeinu. And by the way, we see this in the Heilige Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a very famous Medrash. And the Medrash says that when Yisro was taking Moshe Rabbeinu as a son-in-law, he asked Moshe Rabbeinu if he's going to marry my daughter Tzipporah, the first child I want you to raise towards Avodah Zarah. Rav Chaim Shlevis and Sichas Musar, he asked on this Medrash, I don't understand. Yisro was already at this point, yes, originally he was Ovid of Zarah, but already at this point he came to believe in God. Why would he want his first grandson raised towards Avodah Zarah? And by the way, this all Moshe agreed, but he only agreed because he knew later he'd be able to flip back and not raise him to Avodah Zarah. That's all another Torah, another parasha. Not for now, you can look in Sichos Musar. But why would Yisro have wanted it? And Moshe didn't want this in the end, by the way, and wouldn't raise his kids like this, but why would Yisro even wanted it? Yisro came to believe in God, but how did Yisro believe in God? He didn't accept anything from his parents. He didn't have parents that believed in God. It was all from his own search, his own intellect, his own journey, and he came to believe in God. Of course he wanted his grandchildren to also believe in God, but he thought there was Mila in that journey on such a level that he wanted his grandchildren to have the same journey. And if his grandchildren are raised like Jews from Moshe and Tzipora, they'll have the Kabbalah of their parents, and they won't go through that same journey. Problem was, Yisro had it all wrong. Of course, there's what to be gained in that journey. Of course there's what to be gained in intellectually understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And saying Mika Elokeinu. But only after I first accept and say Ein Kelokeinu. First I have to say there's no one like Hashem. I believe, I know, it's been passed on to me for generations. And then I can say Mika Elokeinu. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, that Eliezer, who's teaching us this strong Emunah by Paraduma, should come from him. Because that was the Emunah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted in his family. That deep Emunah. By the way, if you look in the Parsha, in the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu names his children, in Parsha Shemos, he names his children Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom is ki Gera Isi Beres Nachri. I was in a far, strange land. Eliezer is Elokei Ovi Be'ezri Be'atileni. The God of my father saved me. That's Eliezer is the one who tells me I have Kabbalah from my father of Emunah. Gershom says, I was started in a strange land and I'm going to find my father. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I want Eliezer first. That Eliezer who teaches us Emunah. I need that relationship with Hashem first and foremost. This is what each and every one of us needs in our life, Chevra. Not that we should ever again know from any type of tragedy. But even when there's no tragedy, life is so much sweeter when you have Emunah. And it has to be Emunah that first and foremost is Pashut, Emunah Pshuta. That I accepted from my parents and from their parents. People who didn't necessarily have the means that we have to learn tremendous amount of Torah and have such upbringings in yeshiva and still had this unwavering emunah and closeness to Hashem. I know it's true. I know the Rabbeinu Shlomo is by my side. But then also work on my emunah and learn Svarim to talk about emunah and deepen my emunah. Have a stronger connection to Hashem. Have the Eliezer and then have the Gershom. Have both. But the foundation has to be Eliezer. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. He finds Hashem learning Paraduma. Chukim makes no sense because that's Emunah. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. I believe in Hashem. Each and every one of us have to believe in Hashem every single moment. And the stronger our Emunah is, the stronger we will be every moment of life in standing tall and not allowing anything to knock us down in life. Anything to knock down our Simchas Achayim. Our happiness, even in the toughest of times. There's a story I heard recently. The tzaddik, his name was Rav Noach Lechavitch. Rav Noach Lechavitch. One time he was sitting in his office that was connected to the Beis Medrash, and he heard a yid crying bitterly. He sent someone to go find this yid and bring him to him. He says, Yankel, what are you crying about? What's wrong? Why are you crying? She says, I was just finished davening, I was saying the Ani Mamins. So what's wrong with that? That's great. I was saying the Ani Mamins, but I suddenly started to think to myself, maybe I don't really believe. Maybe I don't believe in all these things I'm saying. And then I had another thought. No, I do believe in the things. But if I really believe, I'd be acting in a totally different person. I'd be doing very different activity. I'd be living my life in a different way. Why don't I live up to my belief? And I started to cry, he started to cry again. And the Rebbe told him, listen, Yankel, the Ani Mamins, of course, are a statement of faith, because we all do believe deep inside. But it's also a tefillah. It's a statement of faith that we all believe that we have, but it's also a tefillah. That we are davening, we're begging Hashem, we're saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, Ani Mamin Shleima, help me, I beg you, help me to believe with full faith. I want to badly believe in you with full faith. With complete Emunah. Meaning what, Chavir, you hear? What was Rav Noach Lechavitch saying? He was saying every year deep down does believe. We have the Emunah. And that's from our parents and our grandparents. But we also have to say, Ani Mamim is a tefillah. I want to believe more. I want to have a deeper belief. Because my belief was perfect. I'd be walking around B'simcha every moment. I'd be serving HaKadosh Baruch in the most perfect of ways. Ba'avo, b'yira, b'simcha. I'd be the shining light that I am at times, but I'd be it always. And I'd also be able to handle anything that comes in my way. Anything. So we have to have Emunah Shleima. Emunah Shleima. We say Emunah Shleima. And that the Baal Shem Tov says, that Emunah Shleima is the synthesis of the Emunah from our parents and the Emunah through Chakira. Zu hu Emunah Shleima v'tayim. That's complete Emunah. I don't know what the future brings for any of us. I'm not a Navi. I don't have Ruch Kodesh. I hope, as Hashem Yisbarach, that the tragedies that we've dealt with this week are the final tragedies of Klal Yisrael in the history, and we'll be zayicha to be dancing with Gula. But until that time, I want to give each and every one of you a bracha. The bracha is that we should live this Torah. We should live this Torah and be one with Hashem every moment. To build our Amunah that's Amunah that's Mukhruch for my parents, and build an Amunah of Chakira, of searching for that Amunah. Bizoiche, to be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such an awesome relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like a young woman told me very recently, it was so awesome, it was so beautiful. I was with a, talking to someone, this was not so long ago. And I don't remember the exact language, but something extent that this young woman looks at me and says, Rabbi, you know, that Hashem and me, we're very, very tight. Hashem and me, we're very tight. We're very close. And it was so beautiful. A little bit of chutzpah, you could say. Like she's talking for God already, but she really feels that. She felt so close to Hashem, and she feels close, that Hashem's close to her. Halavai, we should all feel that. Halavai, we should all feel tight with Hashem. Tight with Hashem. And if you're tight with Hashem, you're going to be good. And I'm tight with Hashem if I have one. These Shnei Suge Amunah, the Amunah Shleima that we're learning about tonight, that Hashem, we should all be zoicha to have that Amunah. And we know that Amunah, Chazal say, was the reason that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. We're already coming upon soon, we're Shloshim Yom Kodem Chag of Pesach. That Amunah, belief in Hashem, faith was why we were brought out of Mitzrayim. And Chazal say, B'nisan was the Geula B'nisan Atidin Ligal, that the future Geula will be because of Nisan. So B'stama, if that was because of Amunah, again, if we strengthen our Amunah, and we have Amunah B'Hashem, and we believe every moment Hashem is by our side, we'll be Zoyche to have no more tragedies, no more difficulties, only Nechama, only Simcha, only Bracha, B'Prat, B'Chlal, with Mashiach Sukeinu, B'mehera, B'Yameinu. And we have a beautiful Eilu Shabbos Kodesh, and Mirtz Hashem will continue soon.